On Wednesday nights, we've been taking a look at most recently what I would title our charge and motivation to obey our Savior. Our charge and our motivation and motivation to obey our Savior. We took a look in Hebrews, and Hebrews chapter 10 ended up in Hebrews chapter 12 about how the Lord admonishes us to do some things here in this context of the New Testament church age and his children and his churches, which is us, that applies to us. We see in chapter 11 that witness of faithfulness of the saints. How was it that they obeyed God? Well, they were faithful in what the Lord had told them to do. We saw that about how there is a chastisement for the children of God as we go along and live in this life. And then there is that judgment that each one of us face. We came to this portion of the study from the judgments and our own judgment at the judgment seat of Christ, and taking a look at that. And then from there in Hebrews 10 on through last time, James chapter 1, we took a look in the latter verses of that chapter to consider this about our charge and motivation to obey. And we do have this from the Lord. We will have a judgment, and we are charged by our Lord. There are those that I think it's a function of our old man. I think it's a function of our culture and our day that we don't want to be told what to do. And the thing is our Lord tells us much to do and much to stay away from. And so we need to know what that is and understand that is what's right for the child of God. We're not just in a static kind of situation, but we do make choices. We do have our lives before us, and we have our Lord and His provision for us in this life, or the ways that He has equipped us to live for Him. Remember there in James chapter 1, the Scripture says that we need to be swift to hear. Hear what? Well, the Word of God. We need to be slow on the things that come from us, but we need to be swift to hear what the Lord says. Remember, the wrath of man doesn't work the righteousness of God. And so that's the nastiness and the orneriness, the willfulness, the waywardness of man. It doesn't work the righteousness of God. We are to receive that engrafted word, right, there in James chapter 1, to be doers of the word. Not be found not a doer, but to be found a doer of the word. And so, and in that book we looked at Sunday about works evidencing faith in the Lord. Faith that is faith in the Lord will yield working for the Lord, obedience to the Lord. There in James chapter 1, there's a an allegorical kind of thing that's there, just a parable type of thing. If we don't do what God tells us, our Lord tells us to do as His children, we can be like somebody that looks in a mirror and goes away and forget what you look like. You won't even recognize yourself as a child of God. And then was mentioned there in verse 25 of that chapter, the perfect law of liberty. The perfect law of liberty. Those that get crowded by the perfect law of liberty can be tempted to call it legalism. And the thing is we legalism is only applicable to doing and obeying things for salvation. Because if the Lord has given a command, which side of the command do you want to be found on? Regarding that child of God, don't you want to be found on the obedient side? Now, I understand, and ultimately, I look to wrap this entire study up with a message about our attitude and way towards one another, towards our brothers and sisters in Christ, towards those in other and sister churches and such as that, what our attitude needs to be. And probably that message is likely going to surprise you, what I have to say there. But the perfect law of liberty, we have been set free to obey. And if you and I, we feel constrained by something that the Scripture tells us our Lord wants us to obey in, then we probably need to be looking at mortifying our old man more. Now, I realize that there are situations that have come about and that all of us have seen, maybe some of us have lived in them, where pastors look to take certain things and, as is said, make a list out of them, and you accomplish this list, church member, everything will be all okay. Now, that should not be either. Okay? That should not be. But what the Word of God says, we all need to be about following. And we have we'll have disagreement about some of those things, but no, we will all give account for what we do and what we say and how we go. So looking into the perfect law of liberty and continuing in that, being set free and understanding we're set free by our Lord to obey, not being a forgetful hearer of what he said, there in James chapter 1, verse 25, but a doer of the work will be blessed in our deed. We don't want to be found of those that deceive ourselves, but if we can, you and I can want something so bad that we'll go ahead and deceive ourselves about it relative to what the Lord thinks about it, because we just want it so bad. We're all subject to that. We need to beware. Beware of that. And then it wraps up the chapter speaking about pure religion and undefiled religion before God. And the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows, the weak and the unable, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. And that's what the world wants, what the flesh wants, what the world system pushes and insists that everybody should be found in. We don't need to be spotted up with those things. And so we need to have discernment from our Lord about what's good and right. The Lord, I want to remind of this too, that we read in John chapter 8, as he deals with these folks here in the Gospel of John chapter 8. Many believed on him. He said to the Jews that believed on him in John 8:31, if ye continue in my word... See, continuing in his word. Got to know what he said. Got to know how it applies to our individual lives. It's him speaking, a hearer of the word and a doer of the word both. He said, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. That's how his disciples are known, because they go like Christ does. They walk like Jesus does. And ye shall know the truth in his word, and that truth in his word will make us free. The perfect law of liberty. Free, set free. The light has shone on upon us and in our hearts that we might obey. So what I want to look at tonight is what is acceptable and pleasing to our Lord. What is acceptable and pleasing to our Lord? Now, this is, I will probably not go any farther than this message on this subject. You could go and take a look and be more comprehensive in the Scriptures about the detail of this. But the thing is, you'd have to look at all the Scriptures to be able to do it, and we're all doing that, right? On a regular basis, we're all looking at the Scriptures and feeding on the Scriptures to know what's in there for us to follow in, aren't we? Right? We are. Yeah, we ought to be. Okay, so we ought to be asking our Lord to help us to take it and help us to bring it to our lives and to understand it and to do it. Okay, so which is, as we look at the Scriptures here in our services and all that, we're doing that all the time. We run across that stuff all the time, don't we? But I want us to just take a look about, as a child of God, what is acceptable and pleasing to our Lord, or that state of being acceptable and pleasing to our Lord. Do you realize that there are some Sovereign Grace Baptists, and I tell you this just so you don't fall into the trap and you don't get sucked into something that you and I, where you and I don't belong. It's not to rail on anybody. But there are some Sovereign Grace Baptists, because of the misappropriation of certain doctrines, that say that you and I can't be pleasing and be acceptable to our Lord. Yeah. Yeah. When you take doctrine and you misapply it and you go too far with it, you end up over in the left field. We're children. The relationship is different. We've been given all things that pertain unto life and godliness. We have the Holy Spirit of God living within. We have the Word of God, and we have the context of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, working in our church to help us, guide us, remind us, and teach us. So we can be. Now, listen, if we do, when we do, I pray we do, let us not become proud about it. Let us always be thankful to our Lord. Because, see, we as human beings are subject to that too. We can become proud in our known obedience to the Lord. And so we have to watch out. Pride is just a really a strange thing, because even when you start talking about it and dealing with it, it creeps up on you. But it's the fact, it's the truth, that as we do, let us be thankful. Because it is the Lord's blessing upon us. But we are to pursue being acceptable and pleasing to our Lord that saved us. That's what part of our calling as children is. And remember that, child of God, child of God. You know how it was with your parents. You know how it is with your children. If things are well and healthy in a family, children want to please parents. Parents want children that will please them. And that's the way it is with us and our Lord. He looks for us to please Him, and we should want to please Him and be accepted before Him. I'm talking about a work salvation. I'm talking about the state in which we find ourselves being saved by the Lord and in His family. And we in His church, okay? We start over here in Deuteronomy 5. We've got a lot of verses, so we'll get on with it here. And just listen to what the Scripture says. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, Brother Moses preaching to the second generation before they go over into the promised land. We pick it up in verse 6. I'm the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Thou shalt have none other gods before me. Thou shalt not make any engraven image. What do you think? Exodus 20, reviewed, isn't it? Or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or is in earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Verse 9, thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. We don't want to be found there, do we? And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. It's been that way from the beginning with the Lord. Now, the Lord fully expected our father Adam to obey what he said and to show his love for God by obeying what he said and don't eat of that tree in the midst of the garden. It's been that way from the beginning. And even in spite of our sin, our fall and our sinful situation and all that, the Lord's expectation and expected relationship with mankind is still that. He speaks, we obey. So having been made the child of God, what do you think? What do you think about being a child? Are we to be an obedient child? Well, of course. The Lord would expect nothing else. Not a child that's been given a license to run crazy and wild. That's dishonoring to the Father. Following our own will and our own way. So from the beginning, it's been that way. We fast forward to Matthew 22, where the Lord Jesus is asked about the great commandment. In Matthew 22, verse number 36. Matthew 22, verse number 36. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, every bit and every whit that you've got. This is the first and great commandment. So which is the first and great commandment, Lord? He tells us. And the second, he offers this to boot. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So to love the Lord is to obey him indeed. And to reverence him. And you know what he says? You better reverence your neighbor too. Now I'm not talking about the worship of a neighbor, but certainly a consideration of our fellow man. Huh? Is there anybody that we should be abusive to? You know, listen, when we're abusive to them, We sin against our God because they are made in the image and likeness of our Lord, just like we are. And so he tells here, the greatest commandment is what? To love Him. To love Him with everything. That means to be holding and hanging on to His every breath. I mean, if you love somebody, do you want to kick them? Treat them bad? Beat them up? Rough them up? No. Biblical love is to do well to them and to please them and to engage them well. I know there's different aspects of that, different relationships in that. But we're talking about love. We want to have a good connection and a good relationship with that one. And the Lord Jesus says we should love the Lord thy God with everything we've got. And so then he comes over here and in the latter part of his ministry in John chapter 14 and says what? You know it. And they're just not idle words. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. What has he said? Well, he said this whole book. And we need to obey him in it. And then we come over here to John 15, our Lord dealing with his church there before his going to Calvary to complete his gospel, to finish his gospel, the climax of his ministry. And verse number 9 of John 15, he says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Jesus obeyed everything that the Father gave him to do. That he's our example. Was the Lord Jesus willful in any way? From the standpoint of power and ability, could he have been? Well, no, it's not in his character to be. But from the standpoint of ability and power, he could. But he couldn't because of his nature. Okay, we understand that. So he's our example. Do we have recourse to do otherwise? Do we have an option to go another way? We do not. We have no option to disobey him in any way. He says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Meaning, if we do not keep his commandments, we will not abide in his love. True? Yeah. You ever get cold? Yeah, we're all subject to it. Are we abiding in what he has given? Are we obeying in what he has given us? Are we listening to the flesh, listening to our will? I heard this week of a couple that's going to get a divorce after so many years of marriage. And it's sad. It's sad to hear that. They've got some of their children are grown, graduated from high school. And they're just as impacted by that as if they were little. There's a kind of a thinking that, you know, they become adult-sized, that they're not bothered by divorce of parents. You know, the greatest way you can show your love for a child is to love their parent. You know, I mean, it's just a fact. It's just the way that it is. But in this situation, another person was let into the relationship by one of the couple. Is the Lord in that? No way, no how. But what is in that? Selfishness. What the individual wanted, rather than what they had committed to and what's best for the whole. His commandments weren't kept, and therefore there's not abiding in his love. These claim to be saved. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abided his love, we have his example. So then, our charge or what is acceptable and pleasing to our Lord. Listen to what it says here in Romans 12. These are all passages that we know, but we're picking out this portion of this subject. Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. That means we can be acceptable. And again, it's not a pride thing. If we're looking to brag on ourselves about our acceptability to God, we've missed it. But we should strive to look to be acceptable. A living sacrifice, that means our life sacrifice to the Lord, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There's an acceptable will of God for us to follow in and to be found in. We can be in it. Our Lord has designed such the helps that we need that we may do so. In Romans chapter 14, over here across the page, or the next page over, look what it says here in Romans chapter 14, verse 15. But if any brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be spoken evil of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. So there are some things that we can follow in and obey in to be acceptable before the Lord as a saved child in obedience, showing our love for him in every whit of life. We come over to Ephesians as the apostle writes to the church at Ephesus, and just marching right through the scriptures. In the fifth chapter here in Ephesians chapter 5, what's it say here? Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. I tell you, I like that. That's a fine reminder, isn't it? And walk in love, that love that Christ talked about, we saw him speaking about earlier, as Christ also has loved us, there's the example, and hath given himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Our Lord Jesus has given himself for us. And he says here that we are to walk in this love like Christ has loved us and given himself for this sweet savor, a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. You and I can yield up a sweet smelling savor too, being obedient to the example of our Lord Jesus. We can. Is it possible for us to bring a smile to the Lord's face? As a child, we can. In obedience. In obedience. He is honored and glorified and praised in it. Look what it says here in verse 8. For we were sometimes darkness, but now you were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit and all is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Striving, finding out, going to the Word and taking that and applying it to life, saying no to the flesh and yes to the Lord, and asking and petitioning the Lord for the helps and the things that He has promised and given unto us and the work of the Spirit within us, we can prove what's acceptable unto Him. Indeed, we can by His power. In Philippians, this church at Philippi, He speaks to them along the same line. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 15. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. And so, kind of along the line of he's dealing with Corinth, he's dealing with them and commending them. For even in Thessalonica, ye once and again, you sent once and again to my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but a desire fruit that may abound on your account, to your account. Verse 18. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. To help the apostle in his need, what they gave, what they purposed to do, giving of themselves, and that provision, the money, whatever it was to deliver unto the apostle, he says it was a sweet smell and sacrifice unto the Lord. Praise the Lord that He's blessed us to be able to give. Give of what's been given by the membership. Praise the Lord that He's blessed us to be able to give of ourselves for different things, different ministries of the church. It's a sweet and it's a sweet smell. It's a sacrifice acceptable, and it's well-pleasing to God. Praise the Lord to be used of the Lord in that way. Amen. Church of Colossae, the same way. Let's take a look over here in chapter 1 of Colossians. Let's pick it up here in verse number 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Now is a trap set up that we would try to do this and can't do it? No. The apostle says we should strive to do so. Because we have been equipped. We've been provisioned. The Lord has given us that which we need to be able to do so. We need to use it or avail ourselves to it, that you might walk worthy. He's admonishing them. He's urging them, compelling them, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Because of faith in the Lord and increasing in the knowledge of God, learning more about our Lord and the way that He works. In this same epistle to the church at Colossae, he writes here, listen, children, are you a child? Do you drive yet? If you don't drive yet, you're a child. I'm talking about with a license on the road, okay? Colossians 3:20. Children, obey your parents in all things. Does it say most things? Does it say one parent over the other? No, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Obedience to parents in God's design. See, when a child is obedient to a parent, that their parent that is over them, the design of the Lord and the home and for the edification and the education of that child to bring them up to adulthood, that they might be a profitable citizen, that they might understand that they're accountable before God, that they might fulfill the command of the Lord and just being a person in life and in the world. And we pray ultimately into the salvation of their souls. When a child submits to that, it's well-pleasing to God. God's honored by it. He's worshipped. And it's pleasing unto Him. It's well-pleasing unto Him. Church of Thessalonica is not left out of this. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we see here, we pick it up verse number 1 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. He says, our obedience in the ministry that He called us into and to come and preach the gospel unto you was pleasing unto God. He said, you saw how that went. And then Brother Timothy, he's admonished in some things too in 1 Timothy chapter 2. We read here in verse number 1, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. It is good for us to pray for all. It's pleasing unto the Lord for His children to do so. See, we have been given light and understand that every soul needs the working of the Lord in their lives. And so to petition God on behalf of our leadership, to petition God on behalf of those that we know that are not saved, to implead God to work in the hearts and the lives of our children, our grandchildren, the family members of the membership of the church, it's pleasing unto the Lord when we bring those petitions and those desires unto Him. When we go to Him for the thing that we cannot do, He's worshiped, He's obeyed, and He's honored when His children do so. Also here in 1 Timothy chapter 5, 1 Timothy chapter 5. It says here in verse number 1, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, and the younger as sisters with all purity. Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite that pay, that means pay back their parents, because a man taking care of his family, for that is good and acceptable before God. For a man even to step up and take care of his aunt, it's acceptable and it's good before God. And applies to us all when the situation and the need is at hand. And then, as we've recently read in the book of Hebrews in chapter 12, we're reminded of what it says here in verse 28. Let's read verse 27. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those which cannot be shaken may remain. That's our salvation and the eternalness of the Lord, His promises. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, that's where we're heading, let us have grace, favor of God, whereby by that, so how can we procure grace as the Lord's children? Ask. Ask. Pray. Pray. Let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Yeah. To serve Him well, with reverence and godly fear, to serve God acceptably as we walk in this life for Him. And then in the next chapter, we see here at the close of the chapter in the book, verse 20, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will. Can the Lord do that? He sure can. Are we just to sit around and wait for Him to do it? No, we're to petition Him and to learn in His Word and hear Him in His Word and go to Him with our struggle. Because see, here's the thing. In everything that you and I obey in and do and pursue and change in our lives, we're going to have a stack of other stuff that still needs worked on. Don't despair and don't become discouraged. That's the way it is in this flesh. It's just that way. But as we pursue and as we go to the Lord with those things, He brings them to our attention. We step out by faith in different aspects of our lives and things that need to be changed and turned over, attitudes and the wrestling inside, all that junk that we deal, all those things. He'll give us more, and He'll show us more, and we will draw nearer unto Him. Are we called to just get to a point and then be satisfied with the status quo? No. We're to be continually pursuing Him. If we ever get to the point where we say, well, I'm doing good enough, it's A-okay. No, that means you're sliding backwards. You and I are sliding backwards. And we're all tempted to do that. I'm no different. You know how I know these things? I'm on the inside of me. And I just make the assumption that the same thing's going on with you. Because what the Word of God tells us. And so, he says here, now the God of peace make you perfect in every good work to do His will, mature, grow up, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Lord, give me that. Just don't sit around and read it and say, that'd be pretty nice if that would happen. No, Lord, give me that. That's what David pleaded of the Lord. Lord, purge me, cleanse me, show me, deliver me, help me. David, he went to the Lord often with things in his life. And then Brother Peter, he writes too in 1 Peter chapter 2. Listen to what he says here. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, verse number 1 of 1 Peter 2, and all guile and hypocrisies and envyings and evil speakings, that's the things of the flesh, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You know, that's one of those ifs in the Scripture that's a qualifier about what kind of ground are you? Okay? If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming is unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Verse 5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Yeah, we are to offer up spiritual sacrifices in obedience, in our service, in our walking with our Lord. And then in this same chapter, he goes on here and talking about suffering, enduring grief for the sake of the Lord. What's it say here in verse 20? For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? Now, if you deserve a lashing, then and you take that, okay, what? You had it coming, okay? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Because you know what? It's being like Christ. Christ took it patiently, didn't he? Did he deserve it? Not at all. But he took that which came to him patiently for our sakes. And then Brother John in 1 John chapter 3, we read here towards the end of the chapter, verse 19, and hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. See, we need to keep ourselves focused on the Lord and what He has said and what He has promised. Because you know what happens? You know what happens when Jim Duke starts looking at Jim Duke? I start sinking in the water. Didn't that happen to Brother Peter? Yeah. When he started looking around at everything else, started thinking about how he's going to stay on top of the water, got his eyes off of the Lord, he started sinking. You and I are subject to do the same thing. If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Listen to what he says. Verse 21, Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. See, this flesh and feelings change and roll around and are subject to all kinds of influence and all that has nothing to do with the Lord. Okay? I'm talking about when it's to the negative. When we are blessed of the Lord and we know we're rejoicing in the Lord, we do experience that in our flesh too. But when we start looking at self, we start looking at the world, we start despairing, we start thinking about our own power, our own ability, how we're going to do this, we start thinking about being afraid. unable, get our eyes off the Lord. But when we have experience with the Lord, we have confidence in the Lord, as if He's called us to do a thing, pursue a thing, follow in a thing, and He'll take care of us right on time when He wants us to do a thing, we have confidence towards God. Verse 22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Obedience. Obedience. We are called unto obedience. Our charge and motivation to obey our Savior. Next time, Lord willing, what we're going to do is take a look at what the Lord says about reward. You know, if there was nothing said about reward, it wouldn't change a thing about what the Lord has called us to obey in. Because He's worthy. You know, does well for the child of God. You know, I remember a time in my saved life that my big focus was on the rewards. My big focus was on the rewards. I looked at walking with and serving God. This is a man that's just being honest with you in the immaturity of the walk with the Lord, being saved. I was saved. But I didn't know about what the Word of God said about some things. I didn't know experientially about some things. And so the rewards were a big thing for me. They were a big thing. But praise the Lord, He's helped me to grow up a little bit and to understand. And I heard my pastor, he preached it. He said, and it's true, the Lord is worthy to be obeyed and followed and worshiped and praised regardless, because He's God. See, what needed to happen, and I don't say this in a bragging way, it's just the Lord's work with this sinner, with this child of God. I had to be emptied of me some more to understand who's in control. I needed to decrease, so the Lord increase. And I'm not there. But the Lord has helped me with some things, and I praise His name for it. And so, if the rewards weren't even there, it would not change a thing what the Lord's given us to follow in and do. And you know what? We could do so and should do so joyfully. Joyfully. Because He's God, and He has saved us and made us His child. There needs not be any more reward than that. No greater blessing than that, to be made a child of God, being a stranger and a foreigner from Him. But you know what? There is a recompense of reward. There is a reward to boot. And we'll take a look at that too, because it's a real thing. If the Lord has told us about the reward, He wants us to know about the reward. But I'm telling you right now, don't get over-focused on the reward. Know that it's there. Leave it up to the Lord and obey. Obey while you've got time to obey. Amen. If you're here and you're not saved, you desperately need the Lord Jesus Christ. These things that I've spoken about tonight, they don't apply to you. Because, see, you're in that condition of being separated from God, a great chasm between you and God because of your sin, the coming damnation because of your sin. And you need a heart change. You need salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ. The message of God unto you is, look and live. Repent and believe and trust the gospel and the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done, even for sinners like you. You need salvation. You need a rescue from yourself and from sin and from the world. Because you know what? You can do the best that you can do, and you can try to take up these things and obey the Lord in them. And the Lord testifies, I read Sunday, the Lord will testify to many that cast out demons, did many wonderful works, and did all kinds of seemingly righteous things. And the Lord will say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Because you need the Lord as Savior first. You need to be born again. You need to be made a child of God by the Lord Jesus Christ. And His command unto you is to repent and believe the gospel.